Indeed, God is so good. Certainly appreciate David leading us in that hymn a few moments ago and for setting the stage for our study this evening, titled God is so good. You see, the hymn, God is so good, it emphasizes the attribute of God's goodness. And it's important to note that goodness denotes uprightness. And goodness involves righteousness in action. However, not only is God's goodness expressed in His moral excellence, but His goodness is also expressed in many other ways. So with those thoughts in mind, let's take just a few moments this afternoon to examine some scriptures that emphasize the fact that God is so good. And let's begin with what David penned there in Psalm 25 and verse 8. And there David acknowledged that God is good and upright. When he said, good and upright is the Lord. You see, David, he understood that God is so good. And he acknowledged that God is good and righteous, not only of himself, but he is also good and righteous to all. We also learn there in Psalm 33 and verse 5, the fact that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. I want you to stop and let that marinate for a moment. The psalmist informed that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. You ever think about that? You see, the providential goodness of God of which all creatures partake, it's manifest everywhere. And it is because of that that every part of the earth bears witness that God is good. But the psalmist also informs us of the need to taste and see that the Lord is good. We learn where David encouraged the people to taste and see that the Lord is good there in Psalm 34 and in verse 8. And be mindful that this is a psalm of David. This is a psalm of David. And David encouraged the people to taste and see that the Lord is good simply because of the fact that he himself had already experienced the fact that the Lord is good. He has tasted, he has seen the goodness of the Lord. And it is because of that that he encouraged the people to also do this. Because he had done this. He had experienced the goodness of God. Now the question is, how did David do that? And how are we to do that? The answer is simple. By putting our trust in him. You see, that's what Psalm 34 is all about. Psalm 34 is all about the happiness of those who trust in God. David did that. Because of that, he tasted and he saw that the Lord is good. And because of that, he encouraged others to do the same. And my beloved brethren, when we put our trust in the Lord our God, we too will taste and see that he is good. We also go on to see there in Psalm 69. There in Psalm 69, which is David's urgent plea for help in a time of trouble. He proclaimed there in verse 16 that thy loving kindness is good. David acknowledged the fact that the loving kindness of God, it was good. You see, David knew that God was just. David knew that God was merciful and loving. And it was that in this basis that he acknowledged the loving kindness of the Lord our God. And because of that, because David recognized the loving kindness of the Lord our God, because he knew that, he could expect relief from his troubles in a time of need. Brethren, when we're going through troublesome times in our life, we too need to make an urgent plea to God, as David did, for relief in a time of trouble. Recognizing the fact that our God, he is a loving God, and his loving kindness is good. But we also see, as Steve so ably read for us a few moments ago there from Psalm 100, we learned there in Psalm 100, in the last verse of that psalm, that the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all. I want us to think about the reason here for why the psalmist proclaimed that the Lord is good. There's two reasons there. First reason, because his mercy is everlasting. The second reason, because of the fact that his truth endures from generation to generation. It is because God is merciful and because his truth stands the test of time that he is good and that he is worthy of all praise and honor. Which takes us right into our next point in regard to what the psalmist informs us about the goodness of God. And there in Psalm 106 and in verse 1, the psalmist penned, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." As good Bible students, we recognize that this is a commonly repeated theme throughout the Psalms. We see this throughout the Psalms, as we see not only in Psalm 106, but also in Psalm 107 and in Psalm 136. We see those two Psalms also beginning with this very same admonition. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. You see, we can never be reminded too much. Never be reminded too much of the need to give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. God is so good. And we need to be reminded of that each and every day. And we need to be a people who are mindful of his goodness, mindful of his providential care for us, mindful of his mercy, mindful of his love. And we need to be a people who give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. But not only do we need to be a people who give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, but we also need to be a people who continually offer our praise to the Lord, for he is good. You see, another thing that God is worthy of for his goodness is he is worthy not only of our thanks, but also of our praise. And there in Psalm 135 and verse 3, the psalmist said, "Praise the Lord, for he is good." You see, we need to praise the Lord, for he is good, and sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant, as the psalmist encouraged. And we need to be mindful of the fact that the Lord our God, he deserves our praise. He deserves it. And we need to be a people who continually give him praise for his goodness. And our singing praise to him, did you know that that's pleasant and that it's proper in itself in regard to showing and giving praise to our God? You aware of that? When we lift our voices up in praise to God, the psalmist says, that's pleasant. Be mindful of that. And let us be a people who praise the Lord, for he is good. But did you also know that another aspect of the goodness of God is in the fact that he is a stronghold in the day of trouble? You see, The prophet Nahum informed us of this there in Nahum chapter 1 and in verse 7. And there Nahum said, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him." Again, God's goodness is seen not only in his moral excellence, but also in the fact that, as the prophet of old informed, those who trust in him, they can find refuge in the Lord in the days of trouble. Think about that. And remember, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. You see, as we have noted throughout this study thus far, God is so good. He is so good. And we need to be mindful of the fact that we must not be a people who despise the riches of his goodness. You see, unfortunately, there are some who pervert, abuse, and neglect the goodness of God. I venture to say that you're probably aware of some like that. You're probably aware of some who abuse or neglect or pervert the goodness of God. This is nothing new. There were some like this in the Apostle Paul's day. Because we learn there in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 where Paul asked a question. And I want us to notice this question that Paul asked. He said, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, for because his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" That's a good question. How about you? Do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering? I hope not. But unfortunately, there are some who despise the riches of the goodness of God. But we must be mindful of the need to be a people who should always acknowledge the goodness of God for what it is. We should appreciate it, be thankful for it, praise him for it, and know that his goodness is designed to lead one to repentance. You aware of that? That's what Paul informed. That's why I asked that question. Do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Think about that. The goodness of God was designed to lead one to repentance. And it is because of the mercy of God, the long-suffering of God, his goodness, that he is so good. However, we need to be mindful, my beloved brother, of the need not to only consider the goodness of God, but also the need to consider his severity. You see, Paul, there in Romans chapter 11 and verse 22, simply said, "Consider both the goodness and severity of God." Again, there are many people today who are one-sided when it comes to God. They're one-sided. All they want to think about is his goodness. And indeed, God is so good. But brethren, we need to be mindful of the need not to only contemplate the goodness of God, but also the severity of God. You see, as we have talked about this afternoon, God is so good. But we also need to consider and be mindful of the fact that he is also strict in judgment. And to those who are unbelieving and unfaithful to him, his punishment, it will be upon them. But to those who believe and are faithful to him, his goodness will always continue. We learn that in Romans chapter 11. And we need to be mindful of the need not to only consider the goodness of God, but also of the need to consider His severity. Once more, God is so good, and He does good. Psalm 119, verse 68. Therefore, never forget these words of James. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. James chapter 1 and in verse 17. Maybe there is one in the audience tonight who recognizes God's goodness, but you have failed to submit your life in obedience to Him. We plead with you to do that this very hour. For you have heard the Word of God. And if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins and you can turn to God this very hour. And may we be mindful of the need to confess Jesus Christ and to be baptized for the remission of our sins. For by doing so, you too can have that hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. And may we all always remember, as we talked about this morning, the need to continue to keep on keeping on. The need to continue to remain faithful unto death, knowing that by doing so, Jesus has promised the crown of life. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who's already submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you haven't been faithful. I remind you to consider the severity of God. Be mindful of the fact that if you fail to repent and to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life, that there will be consequences, that you will be punished eternally. Take note of that. Understand that. Recognize your need to repent and to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour if you have that need. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this afternoon, subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever that need be, once you let that need be made known now, we'll make your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song, David Selected.